gents, the bell has sounded. That means it is time to chop it up again on another episode, episode 2 of Chop Sports Podcast, with your host, of course, the creator, the innovator of this whole ordeal, and that would be Chris Gucci, and of course, myself, Dave Sturcio. We're coming off a lot of cool things. I mean, obviously, this past week has been, as a whole, has been incredible for Chop Sports in itself. Well, you know, I believe when we recorded last week, our first episode, we had like 600 members, and we were like, oh, this is great, and now it's up to like 850. I'm so glad that people are starting to use the word of mouth thing and getting your boys and your girls involved in this stuff. And of course, you know, we like to keep it clean. So yeah, let's keep it clean going forward. But listen, we're coming off a super wild card weekend. I think that's what they're calling it, because there was a seventh seed added, and sometimes seventh seeds just don't belong. And I know, and of course, Chris, you know what you're coming off of. And of course, as we record this, and let's not forget this, let's take a second to pour out whatever you're drinking. 6 years ago today, Dez caught it, and I know he caught it, and that's forever in my mind.
Was that and it was today? Is the actual anniversary is today?
Actual anniversary as we record this is today. Yes.
Now, when you say caught it, like you mean like he caught it in the street ball rules? We've had this debate on and on again, man. We both know this situation. Even if they did call it a catch, Aaron Rodgers has a minute and a half left.
You're right. As Cowboy fans, you struggle to accept victory until there's 0-0-0 on the clock. And when it's Aaron Rodgers, and much like your boy Aaron Rodgers, he's been kind of had a little bit of a break, right? And he finally gets to return to action this week. That's fun.
Super excited about it. I was hoping that we could beat up on Chicago again and have the easy road to the Super Bowl this year. But I'm not really that upset about the Rams matchup.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Rams, that was the pick that we kind of said, if there's going to be an upset, it's going to be the Rams. We'll talk about the other major upset later. But the Rams, I don't know, man. The Seahawks, the whole let Russ cook thing, it just didn't – I don't – he wasn't cooking. He was left his freaking hat.
I think he let the let Russ cook campaign get to his head a little bit. He did put out LLCs on let Russ cook, trademarked the phrase, mid-season putting out cooking shows. I think that it got to him a little bit, and we saw what happened.
Let Russ throw a pick six. But I tell you what, the Rams went in there, you know, with their backup quarterback. He gets his bell rung by Jamal Adams. I'm thinking of Packers already, Jamal Williams. Jamal Adams rocks his neck, pretty much knocks his head clean off. And, of course, Jared Goff comes in, and you're like, all right, well, Jared Goff has been rumored to not even be able to grip a football or take a snap or whatever the case with that thumb. And he was fine. He was fine.
I was surprised when he came in why he didn't just start to begin with.
Right. I was kind of wondering about that, too. But I digress. And the Rams get themselves a road victory. And, you know, I know there's no 12th man, so the whole home field advantage thing really doesn't play as much. I mean, it was cool to see some fans in stands where we weren't used to, like, the Buffalo game. But, like, look, the Rams came in there. They took care of business. And now they got the task of going against the number one seed and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and that entire explosive offense. So starting with them, I mean, look, you're a Packers fan, you're confident, but this Packers team was like to me was the clear cut number one. You know what I mean? There wasn't like, ooh, you know, the Saints have a shot to be the number one. Like they had their issues obviously with the quarterback position, but like the Packers have been that team to beat the brakes off a lot of teams this year. And I think
bell to bell, they've been what I'd like, you know, a lot of people were talking about their strength of schedule, and I understand that, but you could only beat the teams in front of you.
Right.
We did go into New Orleans early this season and get a road victory. And then week 16 in pretty much a big game, what a lot of people might have dubbed as a possible Super Bowl preview, maybe getting ahead of myself with the Tennessee matchup, but King Henry held them to under 100 yards. Defense is clicking a little bit. Going into the Rams game, I like the matchups. Ramsey, obviously, we know what he's capable of. But
that's going to be fun.
He's susceptible to big games. I think Diggs cooked him, not to talk about, you know, the let Russ cook. Diggs cooked Ramsey in that matchup. And there was somebody else this season. I'm not sure if it was Hopkins, but another big-name receiver went off on Ramsey. So it's definitely doable.
My boy Cooper had a day. I mean, he had himself a decent day, and that was week one, obviously. But, you know, look. Ramsey's susceptible to letting up a big game. And now, you know, it's one thing to play in Seattle. You know, I don't remember the weather report, but now you're going into Green Bay, and now it's a different beast, a different animal. I'm sure there's a 90% chance of snow, even though I haven't even looked at the weather report. You know what I mean? So the Packers are a team to be reckoned with right now. And I'm not just saying it to boost your ego. It's just one of those things where this could be the year they just kind of – dude, once that coach and that quarterback, like, stop butting heads, because I know there was a lot of stuff last year about
– That's all here.
I understand. I mean,
narrative bullshit.
Right. Talking heads will be talking heads. But it just seems like they're on pace to just kind of run through the NFC. And obviously, you know, we can't predict that so far because, I mean, we've seen some crazy things, and we, you know, especially in Wild Card Weekend. But, you know, I like the Packers. I mean, we'll do some official picks later on this week as far as with the spreads and all you degenerate gamblers out there, which I actually talked to one of our followers, and he said that, is there a resident, like, is there an Uncle Sal of our group? I said, no, there's really not.
Not yet.
I was like, you could be the guy. I was like,
you're out there, Uncle Sal. We're looking for you.
Yeah, dude. And I think that it could be a thing. Look, there's so many, I mean, not to segue off it, but there's so many ideas that we have at Chop Sports. And dude, we're talking literally me and you every day on the hour, every hour of just thinking about new things outside the box.
Once the weather breaks, we're going to have some live events, things like that. A lot of things on the horizon.
I'll tell you right now, my most exciting thing, only because I haven't played in like a year and a half, but if softball opens up, dude, I'm telling you right now, we got enough guys to fill a team. Because you know how hard that is when you're trying to
fill a team. We have enough guys to fill a league. Let's be real.
Yeah. We can really – I mean, don't get me
started. Which is what lends to the next idea I had, was starting a possible charity – kickball tournament, dodgeball tournament.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that might be interested in helping me out and has some connections on that,
definitely,
you know, reach out.
Yeah, there's so many things we can do. And like I said, we didn't want to break off of the NFC, you know, the playoffs too much. But look, there's so much to talk about. The Green Bay game, the matchups are in your favor. I mean, the Rams offense, again, they played the Seattle defense, who we've seen. I mean, Kasim was just all over the Rams defense being trash. Seattle defense being trash. But I think that Seattle was starting to come on a little bit. And then, you know, they just didn't. Yeah, you know, and they lost
really, it comes down to they couldn't take care of the ball early, Seattle. Mm-hmm. Fell behind. Rams are a really good running team. And when you fall behind against a team that's just willing to hand the ball off.
Akers had himself a day, man. Akers played real well.
Yeah, and they're just their willingness to run the ball consistently, even when they're down at times. I think that's one of the Rams' strengths, is that McVay, he doesn't really break from his game plan much. He has confidence in his guys to execute the game plan.
Right.
And even when they're down, like I said, they will stick with the run. And when they're up, it's just a nightmare for teams to come back on, especially with the Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing this week is that if Rodgers and Adams and that offense gets going quick, the Rams really aren't built to come back. So I think if Green Bay gets off to a hot start, that's going to be the narrative. That's going to be the, you know, just kind of determine what's about to happen.
I compare this game a lot to almost the way I compared last week's game with the Bucs and Washington football team, where – I see the Rams have a chance to win a close game. The Packers have a chance to blow the Rams out.
Right.
Even in the chance that the Rams have a chance to win the close game, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers. So fourth quarter, I put my money on him. I think the point spread is 7 in this game. I like the Packers to cover. I know we're not doing official picks yet, but I've been thinking about that. I've been waiting for this point spread for 9 days.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Last night at midnight, I checked it out. I was like, 7? It's probably going to stay at 7 all week.
We'll see. We'll see where that goes, because, look, Goff will get a little healthier as he goes. Maybe they drop it to, like, 5.5 or something. You know, we'll figure that out as it gets
interesting,
closer.
But interesting side note about this matchup is the coaching connection with McVay and LaFleur. They were on the staff in Washington. All of those guys were on that staff in Washington under the elder statesman, Mike Shanahan, you know. And then I believe McVay hired LaFleur to be his guy with the Rams, and then he ended up being a quarterback's coach with Matt Ryan. So LaFleur has had some success, but they've coached together, so they know each other well. There could be a little wrinkle that McVay has for LaFleur that nobody's factoring in. And to me, I usually go with the dog – in games where those coaches have familiarity with each other. So I'm going to go against it on this one, obviously, because I'm biased.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting you bring that up, like Mike Shanahan's coaching tree. I think you have to, like, have some success to have a coaching tree. Meaning, correct. Parcells has a coaching tree. Belichick has a coaching tree. You know, the Cowboys are going through this defensive coordinator search right now. and they're talking about Mike McCarthy's coaching tree. I'm like, there's no coaching tree for Mike McCarthy. I'm sorry. It doesn't. He's like, well, he was the passing game coordinator for this. I'm like, I don't care. Like, that's the, dude, I can go on and on about coaching trees, but the coaching is a big
thing. I could go on and on about Mike McCarthy. So
maybe we can save that for a whole other podcast. Yeah. But we stay in the NFC. Okay. We're going from youth and their head coaching and young players to the guys that might need a little assistance getting in and out of their cars. Like, you have Drew Brees and the Saints taking on Tom Brady and the Bucks. Now, both of those games, first of all, first and foremost, any Washington football team fans out there, go get yourself your Tyler Heineken, whatever his name is. Go get his jersey. That dude is the future of the Washington football team.
You believe that?
I believe that. I believe that there's enough hype behind this kid. Okay. Look, I think Alex Smith, unfortunately, great story, but he might have taken his last snap. You know what I mean? Like, there's another offseason to come, and like, things could be worked out. But you just shipped off Haskins, so obviously you have no plan on getting him or using him. This kid can move. This kid threw for plenty of yards. The guy jumped from the 4-yard line and scored a touchdown. He was making me a believer, where I was like, I don't want to mess with this guy right now.
The reason why I don't believe is because he wasn't announced the starter until game time, and they didn't game plan for him. I want to see an NFL coaching staff game plan for, you know, what's his name? Tyler Heineke. I don't mean to discredit the guy, because I was impressed, super impressed with everything that he was able to pull off. I think even last week against Philly, he came into the game, right? So he's been super impressive. And it's just that I have faith in the NFL coaching systems.
I guess I get a little too hyped. I mean, like, look, when Tony Romo came in and Bledsoe, you know, I'm like, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. So I get a little excited, and I'm excited about the Heineke thing.
There was a member, though. I don't mean to cut you off. There was a member, Jim Sloban,
long-time friend, on
eBay.
Yeah.
It was $10 3 hours ago. He was like, this card was $10 3 hours ago. You look at it now, it was like $500 or something crazy. So the hype is there.
The hype, the man, the myth, the legend, it's happening. It is happening. But in that game, we saw Tom Brady kind of just do his thing. You know, like, there was a couple times where the heat got to him and he got a little frustrated, but like, that's the one quarterback in the league that you don't want to piss off. Like, you just, like, going into that game, I want Tom Brady. Let's sack Tom Brady.
I was rooting against Tom Brady. Obviously, I thought at the time of his game that, you know, we're probably going to have to play Tom Brady if he wins. Mm. I don't really want to play Tom Brady, even though I'd like to kick Tom Brady's ass at the same time. Like, literally, I would love to kick Tom Brady's ass in a fight. Physically. But I would also love to kick Tom Brady's ass in the playoffs, especially after that showing we had, I think, was it week 6?
Yeah, I mean,
he sidestepped the pressure. He sidestepped the sack. Every single time, he was like a magician in the pocket. So
they took
what we were used to.
They took care of business. Obviously, they're going to take the Saints on. And the Saints, I said it in the open, like, Chicago, and I said this last night, it got a little bit of a riff. Maybe a couple Bears fans chimed in, but I said they had no business being in the playoffs. I mean, look, and then like a couple guys were like, no, it's Mitch Trubisky's fault. He's got no business being in the playoffs. Technically, the defense did play well. You know, they didn't play bad, but they didn't play good either. You know what I mean?
Poor Mitch gave him the Nickelodeon MVP award.
Did you watch any of the game on Nick?
I did. I put it on for my nieces and nephews, and you know, the novelty wore off a little bit after. Like, I noticed they weren't really doing replays the same, and I was like, this is cool, but
they're introducing the game to the new viewer. Yeah. I think it's awesome, but great. I do think that Cordell Patterson dropping an F-bomb on Nickelodeon was one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
And Tony Romo was built for that. He should have been the one doing the Nickelodeon.
Here we go, Jim. Like, yeah, no. But I digress. But the Chicago Bears, look, they came, they got into the playoffs, they backed in. However they got in, they got in. And Saint, you know, Drew Brees kind of did his thing, you know, and they, dude, everybody's expecting Mike Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders or these other receivers. My man, my homie, I don't even know his name off the top of my head. Like, he just came out of nowhere, had like 90 yards and like,
And
I was like, who the hell is this kid? I would have never picked him in fantasy or daily fantasy or anything like that, you know, but
yeah, 7 catches,
something crazy. And so now you have the matchup everybody was kind of expecting. You know, they played each other twice already, you know, and now it's the Buccaneers and the Saints, and it goes through New Orleans. You know what I mean? So this game's going to be hard to tell. Like, again, do they have enough defensive pressure to kind of rattle Brady, you know, or vice versa? Do the Bucs have enough weapons to get it? I mean, you know, the Saints have enough weapons to kind of dissect the Bucs defense. This is the game that's going to be hard to call.
Matchup wise, it matches up. The teams match up really well as far as like the Saints are a really good rushing team. I think they might even be top in the league, tops in the league. If not tops, they're top five.
And Latavius Murray can start for other teams.
Yeah. And there's I think the Bucs are number one against the run. So right there, that's a great matchup. You have the Saints have been solid against the run. The Bucs have been a solid running team, but neither have been solid of late. I think the Saints have been giving up some chunks of yardage lately, specifically the last 4 weeks of the season. And that's usually what you see out of the Saints when it gets cold. Luckily for them, in this case, they get to play at home again. And the Saints are really hard to beat at home. That said, teams, especially a Tom Brady team, really hard to beat Tom Brady three times in one season.
Regardless, I know we said it before, like, oh, I wish I could, you know, you said, I wish I could beat Tom Brady's ass. You might get that shot. You might get that shot in the NFC Championship game. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that are left in the NFC. Besides Jared Goff, I mean, like, if the Packers take care of business, which we both probably are in lockstep thinking that they should, you know, you got either Brady or Breeze is coming to Green Bay, you know, if that's the case. And, you know, again, we'll make picks later on this week, but, like, the way I see Tom Brady now, like I said, the Tampa Bay offense was starting to come on towards the end of the season. That's when you need to come on. And I look at Drew Brees, great career. I'm done seeing Drew Brees on my television. I'm kind of done. I kind of think like every time, and I said this in the Colts and Bills thread, when Drew Brees throws the football, it's almost like you hurt your own shoulder, you know, like you're hurting. Like what the
bro? He got hit. I don't even know if it was like a really that hard of a hit, and he broke 11 ribs and collapsed like both his lungs.
He's getting frail. But yeah, again, that's the game that matches up really well.
No disrespect to Drew Brees, though.
I mean, look, he's goat-esque. You know what I mean? Like
tough as fucking nails.
Yeah, no, he's been around the block and he's beaten good teams, and this is just another test. And if I had to pick a game gun to my head, I would say don't bet against Tom Brady right now. But again, there's no elements to this game. There's no fans to this game. Give Tom Brady a turf field to kind of throw the ball around. Dude, I
know we're not supposed to be picking, and I picked the Packer game. I'm definitely going to pick this game too because I just can't help myself. Brady, I think, has 17 wins, 17 different teams that he's got a playoff win against, 31 playoff wins.
When you play for 50 fucking years, I mean, it's like
you mentioned last week how, or at least I mentioned last week how the NFL would really love to see a Rodgers Brady matchup. You mentioned it 5 minutes ago. That's what we're gonna get.
Let's be honest. I think so too. I wasn't buying this. I mean, the Saints were high powered almost like last year. This year, when you know there's like, I think there's too many wrinkles. Why are we having, you know, Taysom Hill drop back and pass? You know what I mean? Like, just if you're going to have him be a gadget guy, just be a gadget guy. You don't need all this fun shit. Just get back to business. Give the ball to Kamara and just go.
But now that said, the Saints beat the shit out of Tampa twice.
Right. No, and I understand that. So they're definitely capable of doing it. I just think that when they did it, Tampa wasn't all there yet. You know, Brady didn't have his feet wet just yet.
Was AB even there the first game?
I don't think so.
You can say the same for both teams, though. The Saints haven't had Kamara, Michael Thomas, and Breeze, I think, 60 snaps together all season. That's incredible for a team.
And they're the two seed.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Figure that out. But we go from the old dogs, you know, the older guys. The NFC's got Rodgers, you know, Breeze and Brady. And then you go to the AFC where we're both older than all the quarterbacks.
To be fair, I'm almost older than all the quarterbacks in the NFC.
That's very true. I think you carry yourself younger. So that's why I kind of like look at like
much appreciated.
So we go to the AFC where the oldest quarterback is 25 years old. We'll talk about him in a second, but we're going to start with the Bills and the Ravens. Now, the Bills, they took care of business despite somebody on the game thread saying that the game was a massacre. The game was like a 3-point game. Like, oh, look at this massacre. I'm like, what game are you watching? But it was that team has played the loosest, if I'm saying that in the correct context, of all the teams in the playoffs so far. And I think that they just had to get their feet under them. They're hyped up. They're in Orchard Park. You know, they got the fans behind them. They got just, there's just a million things going on. So once they settled in, the Bills were the Bills of the 2020 Bills. You know what I mean? And they looked awesome. I think, unfortunately, Phillip Rivers kind of hinders the Colts offense. Yes, there was, it felt like the balls, bro, were taking 5 minutes to get to the receivers. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was balls where I'm just like looking at my watch, like, okay, when's that going to get to T.Y. Hilton? When is that ball going to? And then, you know, they have a chance to throw a Hail Mary and they're leaving Rivers in there. And I'm like, can he reach the end zone?
I don't know what that was about. Frank Reich made some questionable calls in that game.
Right. Yep. He did.
I forget exactly what it was, but I know in the couple times in the first half I was looking, I was like, these are the things they got away with when he was the offensive coordinator with Philly, and they're not working in this game. And I understand you have a philosophy and you stick to it, but sometimes personnel just doesn't dictate that. And in this case, I think that was what it was. I understand, though, against the Bills on the road, you didn't want to kick field goals early, and they had some opportunities early in that game to come away with some more points, and they didn't. And that was ultimately what cost them.
Is there a cooler kicker in the league than Rodrigo Blankenship, by the way? No. The wild thing himself. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, look, you can't take away the credit that we're going to give to guys like Jonathan Taylor. He's going to be a good running back in this league. The Colts will be better with a better, younger quarterback next year.
Great offensive line. They have a lot of the pieces in place.
They built that for Luck. They built that for Andrew Luck to keep him upright, and then he's like, I quit. So that's whatever. But, again, so now – they're taking on a team that, you know, the last sight you see of a Baltimore Ravens team, they're stomping on logos. Okay. That right there, yes, does it send a message? Sure. Great. But that's might not be the thing you want to do to be the last thing that you're seen doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they took that knee and the game was over, like, Lamar bolted to the locker room. One, I think he was trying to avoid getting pelted by anything just
maybe
to get it out of
shit.
What?
Maybe I take another shit.
His irritable bowel syndrome was kicking in. But no, I look, the Ravens, they're very, very one-dimensional. If they have to – comparing the two teams, it's Bills and the Ravens tackling each other. It's Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. When you look at both of these teams, we talked about the Rams not being able to come from behind. If the Ravens get off to a slow start and they got to rely on this guy throwing the ball, he's another guy that I have a problem saying that he's like one of these elite quarterbacks. Like, yeah, is he? He's a like. Look at the way I see it. Look at the face mask. His face mask is a special teams slash running back face mask. He is not your prototypical quarterback. It's got them far. He's won MVP. I can't take that away from him. But I think it's a whole different beast coming up.
Now, part of me agrees with you, and I have been a harsh critic of Lamar as far as his abilities to throw the football. Obviously, we know what he brings to the table with the running game. That's not what we're talking about, because in time and when it comes to getting paid at the quarterback position, you have to be able to sling it. And that's been proven over time.
Payday.
But Lamar, they fell down early. All the critics were saying, you know, Lamar can't come back. They were down 10-0 early in that game. And Lamar, you know, before you knew it, it was 10-10.
Because there's a lot of game left.
Of course.
You know,
now it could have went either way. He threw a bad pick early, mm-hmm. and he fought back. There was a third down and 7, I think, where he got flushed out of the pocket, and normally you would see the old Lamar would run. In that particular case, he hit Hollywood Brown down the field on an out route, and it was like, wow, Lamar, you don't see that much out of him because normally he takes off. And I think when he did that early is what him throwing that ball on third down is what opened up the running lanes for him later on in the game.
Right, because now you have to play that.
I wasn't really thinking, as bad as Tennessee has been, especially getting after the quarterback, I kind of thought, based on the two previous matchups, that they kind of had Lamar figured out. And it was it wasn't by any means an offensive clinic by Lamar, but he did enough to win the game, and the Ravens defense showed up.
Is he going to get paid? Is he going to get paid, Lamar? Is he going to get paid first?
I don't know. We're going to talk about that's a good point. We'll talk about the contracts when we're done breaking down these games. We'll save a couple minutes for it at the end.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
I have some interesting takes on those situations.
Yeah, that is a big hot button topic. What's up?
You know, go ahead. Bills and Ravens. That's what we're getting to, right?
Yeah. So that Bills Ravens game, like I just said, if the Ravens get down, on this team, I believe the Bills have the better defense to kind of hold him down a little better than the Titans would. And I know Vrabel and that team is a defensive-minded team, and all you really got to do is hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, who, by the way, 2,000 yards, who gives a shit? Like, the guy literally disappeared. You know, it was unbelievable to see that. And that was funny. I think somebody brought up who's harder to take down. I don't know. It was either Lamar or
– Oh, yeah, yeah.
That meme that somebody – I think it was Brian Casey. He put it on there, and they put, like, who's
– I would rather just try and take down Lamar because it's not like you might not – you're not going to die. Like,
you can shoot
– try and tackle Derrick Henry, you might die.
You're not going to be posterized.
Like, he's going to miss the tackle. Okay, either way.
Yeah.
I'd rather not touch somebody than get stomped into the earth.
That's very true. So, what are your thoughts? Like, Ravens, Bills, do you feel like
– Now, it's a very, 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 very interesting matchup to me. I know that what you were just saying about how the Titans compare to the Ravens. My real big thing is, like, how similar the Colts are in style of play to the Ravens. But the difference is they have Lamar. So, it's like you take that Colts style – that Buffalo just struggled with, and now you take Phillip Rivers off that team and you insert Lamar.
Very good point.
And I think that, you know, any given Sunday, obviously, but the Ravens are battle-tested in the playoffs. The Bills, they're not. As far as the roster goes, the coaching staff goes, you know, the Ravens have been there time and time again, and we've seen it. This is not a gimme. Everyone is all over Buffalo, and they're the sexy pick. By no means is this a gimme.
No, you're right, and that's a very good point that you brought up with the running game. And like I said, Buffalo has this high-octane offense, and I think Josh Allen is playing his best. But you're right, the Ravens have that experience factor. Lamar's got that chip that he's holding on. Like, yes, the pressure was on him more than anybody else.
Easy. I'm high on Buffalo. I'm super high on Buffalo. I just think that the matchups, the secondary that the Ravens are bringing to the table, very, very good, hard defense to score points on. They don't give up anything easy, well-coached.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're still conscious after the Packers game, you know, you'll get to enjoy this one on Saturday night. So, obviously, the other matchup that we're focusing on, we talked about Aaron Rodgers waiting a week. So is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. They have been the one seed pretty much since kickoff Thursday night football when the season kicked off. You just knew they were kind of, you know, quote, run it back. You know, like the Chiefs were built as this offensive juggernaut, and even their defense last year came on late when it needed to. And now they've been sitting a week, and they sat the week before. Mahomes didn't play. So now Mahomes is coming off of literally a mini vacation. You know, he's coming off of 3 weeks off. And so now it's all prep for a team that nobody, and I'm talking like, yes, there are people that said, yes, the Browns can win. But there weren't a lot based off of everything that the Browns were dealt with leading up into this game. Browns fans were, you know, yeah, were optimistic, but there was a lot of people saying, dead in the water. This is not going to happen. No head coach. What are you going to do? The Browns shocked the world last night. They really did. And I kudos to Juju Smith-Schuster, who basically handed this game over to him on a silver friggin' platter. Because, boy, this is why you don't open your mouth like that. You can say, like, oh, you know, we match up well, or we have a good feeling about our game plan.
There's been an apology.
Bro, the Browns is the Browns.
Because it cost him it was his last game ever, and you got your ass beat by a bum-ass team. And I don't mean to disrespect the Browns as the same old Browns and do what Juju did, but the thing is, I don't have to play against them tomorrow, so I can say what the fuck I want. They are the same old Browns, and Big Ben's legacy was losing to the Browns.
He just looked bad. Ben Roethlisberger.
We mentioned Rivers before. We mentioned Ben now. There was an Alex Smith reference. We'll even bring Frank Gore into it. Thank you all, gentlemen. It's been great watching you over the years, but it's time. It's probably time to hang it up.
That's where I'm leading towards with a Big Ben thing, and I know Mike DeCrosta brought this up. He is the premier owner of Body Bronze. Check those guys out. We'll give more love as we go on. But Mike DeCrosta brought that up. Have we seen the end of Ben Roethlisberger? And based off of what I watched last night, and the demeanor at the end of the game, and the fact that there's footage of him sitting on the bench, kind of like Zach Ertz-esque, you know, these guys are sitting down, they're like, they're analyzing their life, and they're like, this could be it. You know, is that last game a loss? Did they come back and make an 12-point game? Sure. But that game was 28-0. You know, like,
we're talking all that shit about Baker last week. I was like, I talk all this shit about Baker, and the next thing you know, he throws four touchdowns in the first half. I don't think he had four, but they did put up 35 points.
I mean, him and Juice Landry were unbelievable. And look, again, I'll say this, and I'll be the one, I'll die on this hill. That team is better without Odell Beckham Jr.'s bitch-ass in his ear the entire time. That team was gelling the entire time. And what had happened last night, you know, is that enough, Chris? Do you think that's enough juice to take on the juggernaut, the defending champions, or is this like this miracle run saying, talking like, about, thanks for coming?
Talking about Baker Mayfield being the oldest remaining quarterback in the AFC, but Pat Mahomes is the elder statesman here. He's the one with the experience and the ring, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Don't remember the last time they played each other in college, they put up like 4 miles worth of offense.
Yeah. So
I'm excited about it.
I'm super excited. There's always the chance, and the I would say the kryptonite to Mahomes is keeping him off the field and making him press a little bit. He's used to having a lot of fun out there. You make it a dirty game, maybe he'll turn it over. He has been susceptible to turning it over. I mean, not really
but
he will turn it over, especially of late. The Browns are running the ball real well right now. Nick Chubb could move for a big man.
That screen pass he just took for 40 yards. I was just like,
him and Kareem Hunt takes a lot of the pressure off Baker. The defense gets after the quarterback a little bit. You could talk about the Browns and how they have a great coach and wonderful story. They just doesn't matter. They're still atrocious on defense at times.
And they're down two corners.
And this is the big thing. I think that they're 31st in the league against the tight end position. And that is, I know these advanced stats because
here comes the great one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game.
Yeah, I just don't see how they have answers when your biggest answer is to hand the ball off.
Right, and you can't do that if you're down. So, you know, and that reminds me, Big Ben, 68 pass attempts last night. Like, that is unheard of. And, of course, like, there's people like, well, they were down. You know, they're not going to run. I think it was Dags. He's like, they're down. They're not going to run. I get that. I understand. But, like, you think about a stat line and you're like, something for 45 or something for 52 or something for, you know, 68 throws.
And, like, bro, like, honestly, I think that they kind of just knew Big Ben's going to leave his arm on the field today.
He literally did.
His last game, and they were down big, so they had no choice. I don't even know that Big Ben would have made it out there for next week's game. He's been banged up.
You're probably right. So, here they are. I mean, this is the final eight teams on the NFL in a season where we didn't think we'd get this far. And here we are this far. Divisional championship round. We'll make some picks later on this week, but there's a lot of fan bases juiced up about this. You know, again, the Packers and the Chiefs are, you know, ipso facto my Super Bowl picks. You know what I mean? Like, that was way back when, but like, those are the guys that have been off for a little bit. So do they come out slow? Like, there's a lot to dissect. And, you know, something we touched on before was that, yes, we have these teams, but now, you know, guys like myself who are Cowboy fans, we're focusing on the offseason. You brought it up before. We spoke about it briefly. These guys that are in this class with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, the 2018 class.
That's a massive class. Like, I know it just happened, and I shouldn't be like, wow, that's who's in that class? It just happened, so I should know this. But, like, they're all due soon to get extensions. And I swear to Christ, if one of these guys gets an extension before Dak Prescott, I might kill myself. But Who's going to be, like, you know, it's going to be a trickle down effect.
I think that this postseason has a lot to do with who's going to get the most. First, okay, we saw what happened with Mahomes, so we'll leave him out of it.
Yeah, he owns a third world
quarterbacks in the AFC. He got paid deservedly so. But that pretty much. Now, what if Josh Allen comes out and wins the Super Bowl? They're talking extension this offseason. Is he going to get Mahomes money? I think Josh Allen and Buffalo fell in love with each other this season, regardless of what happens in the rest of the playoffs. Nice. Josh Allen's getting that extension this offseason. Baker,
he's a number one overall pick.
I don't think that they're going to extend Baker in the offseason, but I think that they're going to start talking about that contract once the season starts. I think that they're going to automatically give him that fifth-year option, you know, maybe announce it in this offseason so he knows there's some security there.
Right, right, right.
I think out of those three quarterbacks, though, I hate to say it, I think Lamar is the last one to see the extension. I think that they do to Lamar what Dallas is doing to Dak, and they drag him through the fifth year.
And they tags.
I mean, they do all those things. So the fifth year, then they tag him, and then they
well again
transition him and do all those things.
The Dak thing is happening because Like, yes, there's people that set the market, but, and I'm a realist, the Cowboys haven't done anything. You know what I mean? So it's hard for the Cowboys to come out and say, like, you're the guy, you have won all these games, you're a Super Bowl champion, here we are. You know, he's none of that right now. He's a division champion a couple times. He's won a playoff game. He's led some good teams. He's put up some crazy numbers. They're inflated because the Cowboys are behind a lot. But, like, that is indeed what Lamar might go through, considering that, you know, if they don't make it out of next week, which they could, you know, they very well could. But if they don't, or they make it to the conference and then they get shelled by, you know, Mahomes, it's be, like, what have you done? You know, yeah, all right, cool. You won a couple games and you run really fast, but have you won the big one yet?
That's the problem that I see him having getting the extension that these guys are getting is because he plays the position differently. You saw Josh Allen, I think that they kind of told him, you got to run less, and he did.
Right.
I wouldn't say that Lamar ran as much as he did last year. I'm not really sure on the numbers. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I don't see Lamar turning into this quarterback that doesn't have to run.
Right. He's Mike Vick.
Exactly.
He's Mike Vick.
Giving him a big contract that comes with a lot more risk, and the money that these quarterbacks are getting, if your quarterback gets injured and you're paying him that kind of money, your franchise is doomed. And if he gets injured in a career-threatening way, I understand that NFL contracts aren't guaranteed, but mostly the quarterbacks are getting fully guaranteed contracts. I just don't see the Ravens, without a Super Bowl title hoisted, I don't see them extending him. And even maybe if they do win a Super Bowl, I don't know that they're going to give him that crazy 10-year deal or 9-year deal.
Again, I bring it up because Dak Prescott played on a franchise tag this year and snapped his ankle in three. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, and he's not, and that's not his MO. You know what I mean? Like, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not looking to run first.
Way bigger dude than Lamar.
Right. So it'll be interesting. You know, this offseason will be interesting. The NFC Divisional Championship will be interesting. There's a lot going on with Chop Sports. There's a lot going on with the Chop Sports podcast. And, of course, we want to thank you guys for listening in, subscribing, leaving ratings, reviews. It helps with the search. You know, if somebody wants to say, I want to listen to a new sports podcast, the ratings really help. So do us that favor. Do us that solid. Keep dropping all those memes and status updates in the Chop Sports Facebook group because that's a lot of fun and we like to interact. Keep the goddamn shit clean. Let's not piss anybody off. Let's have a good time. And, of course, thank you again for listening. And we'll be back throughout the week to talk some more shop on Chop Sports Podcast. Thanks, guys.